Guys, remember to wash your hands. Just that's what I'm going to say today. Wash your hands. Stay 6 feet apart from people. Don't be stupid. And while you're 6 feet apart, leave an iTunes review. That's all I got for today. Joe, anything to promote?
I know. My whole, like many people, my whole life has been canceled. So no shows coming up. I guess you could go back and watch some old shows if you want. Like I said, Joe Prano Takes the Stand is now available for one American dollar with promo code Corona, which I did in honor of the Mexican beer. This was before the whole virus thing. So promo code Corona gets you Joe Prano Takes the Stand for one American dollar. That's 44 minutes of comedy, including a short film featuring the great Pete Sestaro. And, yeah, Valentine's Day is for suckers is still out there. I guess if you want old content, that's where it's at.
And also, no, I got nothing else. Do I have anything else?
I don't know. Do you?
No.
Let's start the show.
We're going to announce a big thing on the show, a contest.
Oh, yeah. We got a contest coming up on the show. So if you're listening to this, keep listening. It's contest time.
I didn't like that at all. I think we should redo that.
I think we should keep it.
That pre-roll is terrible.
I think it's the quarantine version of the pre-roll. I think we should start the show.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from the Smut Studio in sunny Venice Beach, California, with my co-host, Joey. No chill, Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Hey, buddy.
I'm now at this point just doing an impression of Tug doing an impression of me. This has become very meta. Hello, Andy.
Yeah?
Hello, Andy.
I texted with Tug yesterday.
How's Tug doing?
It's funny. He actually texted me a screenshot of the Texas Tech Virginia National Championship game last year, and he wrote cut cam alert, which I thought was pretty funny. Somebody in the front row was wearing a Texas shirt. So he was watching last year's national title game, and he found a cut cam.
How many times do you think Tug has watched that national championship game that he attended, correct?
Well, that's what I said to him. I said, this is the state we're at. You're watching an old game. And he wrote, I've never seen it before because I was there live. Hashtag flex.
I don't believe you. I believe he came home from that game last year and watched it immediately.
Yeah?
I think he's seen it. I think he watched it at least once before.
Yeah. I believe him.
But he still needed that for his hashtag flex.
It's a good flex.
Yeah. Good for Tug. Good for Tugler.
I have not fallen down that rabbit hole yet of watching old sports. I'm not against it. I just haven't fallen down that
yet. Yeah. There was something on the other day, and I tuned in for a second, but... Yeah, I don't generally do that.
Yeah.
I'll hardwood classics it from time to time.
Okay.
Just mostly because I like watching like the Showtime Lakers.
Yeah.
And having everybody tell me, you know, this is like high, you know, transition basketball. It's Showtime. And then just being like, why is everybody playing in slow motion?
Yeah.
And then I cackle at the idea that some players think basketball was better in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
So this is a good question.
That's our producer, Nick, chiming in.
This is a good. If my mic was on.
Your mic was on. You just got to speak louder, bro.
No, it wasn't on. So if you guys were to go back, say you have 2 hours to watch one sports event of any, what sports event are you watching? Go back and watch one.
One sports event. I don't know. I guess... Because I don't do this often, because I have not rewatched anything, I think I'd probably just go back and watch the 18-1 Giants Super Bowl. I watched the game where they
that'd be a fun one.
The first Tom Brady loss.
You know, I'd like to rewatch that.
The first loss of the Patriots that year. Why is that?
I was working that night. I was waiting tables. So the truth is, I haven't really rewatched that. Obviously, TV screens are on, but you're not getting a full grasp of the game.
You're saying you didn't even watch it.
I watched it. You watched some of it.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, I didn't really sit down and watch it. I should rewatch that.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
We could do a rewatch. Didn't we talk about that as a potential rewatch?
It'd be a good one.
Game.
The next year I missed the same way I missed the Saints-Colts Super Bowl. Same way. I was waiting tables.
So that was a good one, too. Not nearly as good.
Yeah.
There was a run there for a while where the games were incredible, though. And they was it the Cardinals?
Steelers?
43. A lot of people thought that was one of the great games.
And, yeah.
And, I mean, I think as a biased Giants fan, though, I think a lot of people agree that the 18-1. Like, just all of the things about that game.
A lot of storylines.
Obviously, the undefeated Patriots, but even just the way that they won it.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Now, what have we all been watching? Obviously, we're under this basically national quarantine in some regard. I am now big into Tiger King.
Yeah, I just started that last night, about three episodes in. I rented Bombshell before that, which was the
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, Charlize, Nicole Kidman.
Interesting move there, Joe Prano. I'm not going to lie.
Why's that?
That's an interesting one.
My girlfriend's been wanting to see it for a while, but also, I've been interested as well. It's the Megyn Kelly, Roger Ailes, Fox News movie. Pretty good. Charlize was great. And then watched Tiger King after that. I literally just did a podcast about all the things that I'm listening to and watching and reading. So you can listen to that if you want. That'll give you like literally a dozen things that I've been consuming, but I'm also on Tiger King. I'm three episodes in.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm on episode six. I'm not going to give anything away because it just came out Friday, but highly recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, we can give some stuff away. It's about people who own tigers.
And they're all assholes.
Yeah. And they're all assholes. Absolutely.
All of them.
I think it's amazing when you watch it. I'll give one spoiler. I think the least asshole in the first three episodes, this is truthful, of all of the characters that I've met, all of the main big cat owners that I've met in this show, the one that I think might be the least asshole-ish is the crazy cocaine drug lord in Miami who took a fucking handsaw and chopped somebody to death and then burned their body on his property. I think of the whole group, he might be the best like person. That's how bad these people are. He might be the single best person.
Now, again, I'm mid episode six, so I'm farther than you. I might have to agree with that still at this juncture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy's like,
I like big cats.
Yeah, I like big cats. What am I supposed to do? One of my people shoots somebody? What am I supposed to do? Not chop him up and burn him on my property? How is that guy not in jail, by the way?
Well, he served 12 years, 12 or 13 years.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And he got out.
There's people that are in jail for smoking pot.
I didn't realize the fascination. I'm not talking about the big cat owners, and you'll see this even farther along once you proceed with the series. I mean, this love of posing with a tiger, like, I didn't realize that was a big thing. Apparently it is.
Dude, you have no idea. So I'm watching this last night with my girlfriend, and I'm like, these people are fucking idiots.
It's every Tinder profile.
And I never knew that. I'd always seen in girls' profiles them say, like, I don't care about a picture of you with a tiger. And I'm like, who are all these dudes with a tiger? I've never seen, because I'm not seeing what girls are seeing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm seeing what guys are seeing. And then I was like, all these people are assholes. I go, you got to be a fucking idiot to lay there with like a big tiger and like get your picture taken.
Yeah, right?
Like, yeah. My girlfriend then proceeds to pull up pictures of her laying with a tiger. And I was like, If I wasn't quarantined here, I might have to go.
I mean, that's a like, break. That's an
she's
ending.
She's literally got a tiger like whipping its tail on her, and this like tiger trainer. She's in like Thailand or something. Is like poking at the tiger with a stick to like try to get the tail, I don't know, to try to get the tail off her or to try to get the tail moving for a video or something like that. I was like, you are laying there while somebody pokes a tiger with a stick.
Yeah. It's a very reckless. Here's the thing about me. I have been open. I've made a lot of reckless decisions in my life, regrettable decisions, many that I'm not proud of. Like, that's one I haven't done that I'm not wanting to do.
And then at one point in one of the episodes, the guy's like, if you don't like love tigers, you're like insecure. Like, he like straight up calls out people. He's like, you're insecure and like sad or something like that. I was like, yeah, I don't fucking need to see a tiger. I don't need to hang out with a tiger ever. Same with snakes. I don't need to be around snakes. I don't need to be around like deadly cats. I don't need it.
Well, look, I've discussed, I want to go cage diving with great white sharks. That's different.
I don't need to do that either.
But I think that's different.
Okay.
At least that I'm in a cage. This is, hey, you're just hanging with a tiger.
Yeah. Like a sedated fucking weird tiger.
And it's so sad. If you truly love animals, you can't like these people.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Now, Nick and I also watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High Friday evening.
Yes, I know. And you told me that Nick had a lukewarm take, like a lukewarm review. But then you also told me that Nick gave it a 7 out of 10. We're about to go to Nick for his review. But I was like, I think that's about right. Honestly, that might even be a little high for me. Now, I appreciate Fast Times at Ridgemont High as like the start of a genre. And I appreciate that there's a lot of great. It was like the beginning of a lot of great people. Cameron Crowe, Forrest Whitaker, Sean Penn. Like, there's a lot of people that are like
Judge Reinhold.
Yeah, that went on to great things. Judge Reinhold went on to mediocre things. But a lot of people went on to great things after it, from it. And it's definitely the beginning of a genre. But, like, I'm not like it's a must see from like a great movie perspective. And then so Nick giving out a 7, I was like, yeah, I'm totally okay with that. Might even be a little high. Nick, what was your takeaway?
I think it worked good as like a movie. If you break it down into like different like skits almost, like storyline altogether, there's not much of one.
Right.
There's not one overarching like theme or anything like that. But you know, there's just some funny skits. Like a guy orders a pizza to a class. You know, there's some funny quotes there.
Yeah.
And you know, like if you come at it with a perspective of like humor, almost like a television show, I think it's better that way. But it didn't seem. It was kind of a strange watch, like sitting down watching it as a movie. So,
well, I think
great quotes though.
It is definitely, and I think it maybe even. I think maybe a lot of the people that remember it this way. It was definitely like a basic, not even a basic cable movie. Yeah, I guess you'd say like a basic cable. Like it was always airing on some shit with commercials, like back in the day. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the fun thing. It's only an hour and 26 minutes.
Right.
It's a short film.
But it's definitely a movie that you would catch in pieces. Like, I don't remember the last time I sat down and watched it. From the opening credits to the end credits.
Well, Nick's time, the theme, what I liked about it is, it obviously, there's a lot of comedy. I don't know if it's considered probably overall as a comedy in that genre. But, you know, it's tackling, hence Fast Times, it's tackling sex, abortion, drugs. Like, it's tackling issues that I don't think had really been done before, especially with the abortion scenes and those situations, you know, matters that probably in 1982, correct me if I'm wrong, right, nudity, all those things hadn't been tackled in that format.
And it's definitely the beginning of like the high school genre.
Yeah.
Like a lot of other things sprung from there in terms of like comedies, dramas, like whatever. There was a definitely numerous versions, but like you don't have American Pie without Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Exactly.
You don't have, like, even though that's like a strip, but it's because the idea of like setting something in like the halls of a high school, I mean, that changed. I mean, I don't think you have Saved by the Bell without Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
It was definitely the beginning of like going, high schoolers are people too. They're almost adults, but they're also kids. It's this crossover of like young adulthood and treating and high school as like a place where actual drama can happen, as opposed to like, it's not a children's movie.
It's not Leave It to Beaver.
Right. which like pre-high school is kids' movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I think for a long time, it just was never the scene for anything. And if you look through the 80s and the 90s, it was the number one scene for things.
Yeah.
Like more things. I bet you more movies took place in high school in the 90s than in any other fucking one particular setting. You know what I mean? So props to that for starting like a genre.
Yeah. No, but this is my thing on, we're discussing, obviously we're going to get to some of the sports discussions that are happening now. I think it's important to keep busy during all this, and I'm being real for a minute. I think it's important to watch things maybe you haven't watched, or rewatch stuff, or read a book. Nick and I have had some good discussions about this. Social media right now, Nick called it AIDS yesterday. I'd have to agree.
Awful.
Like, social media right now is terrible. And between the polarization, which I didn't think could get any worse, Joe, I think it has. Through this pandemic, the amount of people hopping on here and making a bad situation even worse with
politicizing?
Yeah, politicizing everything and the panic and the freak out. I'm not saying that we can't take things serious, because we should, but I can't go on because...
COVID. That's my new thing. It's like the Kobe, but with COVID.
I can't go on social media without getting annoyed, and I don't want to be annoyed. So my take now is find something to do.
Yeah.
Find something to keep yourself occupied in a creative and fun way.
Yeah. I've been reading more. I haven't listened to as many podcasts because I'm not alone. I'm not solo, which I basically only ever listen to podcasts solo.
You listen to podcasts now, everyone's talking about the same thing. You know, like, it's just like going on social media. You can't get away from this thing. It's everywhere right now.
Yeah. And I mean that it is like, it's literally everywhere right now. So it's hard to the idea of doing a podcast and not mentioning it. It is kind of weird. But I agree with you. There's escape, which is why I agree with Andy, is like, go back and find something. It's a great time to rediscover things. I mean, another album I just rediscovered. I didn't rediscover. I mean, I knew it was always there. But underrated U2 album, Pop, 1997, Pop. Flew under the radar. Was kind of panned by critics. They're a little bit ahead of its time. Maybe tried to get a little. I think it made some people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It wasn't their grandpa's U2. There's a lot of good stuff on Pop. And if you're a U2 fan, or if you're like a casual U2 fan, the great thing about them is they put out a lot of like singles back in the day. They put out like a lot of great content. So there's one of those great songs on Pop, Please. There's a single for Please that's actually on Spotify. I think it's on Apple Music too. And they have a live version of it that runs right into, it's like a concert performance where their version of Please runs right into Where the Streets Have No Name. And I'll say this, if you're not a U2 fan, I know there's a lot of U2 haters out there, especially Nick's generation. A lot of people hate U2 because they once gave away an album for free. Never really understood. They're like, here's a free album. Everybody's like, fuck you. We fucking hate you.
Well, there's a lot to that.
But I
don't want an album showing up on my phone. I'm just, you know.
It's hard to avoid then, right?
I'm just saying, like, don't shove it in my face.
Yeah, it's like someone going up to your door trying to sell you something. You don't want any part of that.
Well, they're not trying to sell you something. They were just somebody coming up to your door and just giving you something.
But if someone comes up to your door and gives you something, you're not going to take it all the time. You don't trust that.
I just got this shirt. Shout out to, I didn't even know this was coming. Shout out to, there's a name on it, Mr. Paul Lucas from Brooklyn. He sent me this Meats shirt. It's like a Mets shirt, but it says Meats.
Which, by the way, meat is very hard to come by now.
And I don't know, like, what the reasoning behind it is, but it's awesome. I love it. If it said something that I didn't want to have, I wouldn't be like, well, Mr. Paul Lucas is a real piece of shit giving me a free T-shirt that I didn't want. You know, luckily he gave me a cool T-shirt. It says Meats. But shout out to you, Paul. But, anyway, going back to the point, Pop's an underrated album. Revisit it. if you need underrated things to revisit.
Well, again, my advice, stay off social media. Look, follow the news. Don't oversaturate yourself. You're going to go in panic mode. You're going to freak out. Be safe. Be smart. These are all my pieces of advice. And also find something to take your mind off it with a game.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to disagree with you on the social media thing a little bit. The beauty of social media is that you curate your own feeds. So I've been doing this a lot lately, pre-coronavirus, but also definitely with the way people have acted during this. If somebody's putting out the shit that you don't like, get rid of them.
Yeah.
You don't owe them anything, especially if it's somebody you don't know. Instagram's more of a place where I feel like we all follow a lot of our friends. Like Twitter for me, it's less friends for me, and Instagram's more of my friends. But like, I'll be straight up, I mute the fuck out of my friends on Instagram. Mute. I'm never seeing your story. Never seeing it. And like, that's where we have to be, is like, curate your own feed. If somebody's putting political shit that you don't like, if somebody's putting bullshit out there you don't like, get rid of it, because there is great stuff happening on social media too. A lot of people are doing super positive charitable things in regards to the virus, sharing good information about it. You got to sift through what's real and what's not. But also, like you were saying, in terms of like the content that people are creating to pass the time is very interesting. And this is where we're going to get into, like, you know, what we said in the pre-roll, that we have like a little contest we're throwing out there. Some of the things I've seen that people are putting out there that's like incredible what they're doing with like their free time. I saw a guy yesterday. This might be the greatest thing I've ever seen on the internet. He put a Xbox game or a DVD and he rested it on its side between two fucking whiteboard markers. Then he took a golf club and he chipped it and it went in the air end over end and landed in the Xbox slot. So how long does that fucking take to do?
So he chipped
a disc into an Xbox and it just
like it was
down.
A golf, like he was hitting a golf ball.
Yeah,
it's pretty impressive. It's
pretty impressive. Like, I don't know if it took him a million tries, but either way.
Yeah.
Because like the thing is, to do it, you've got to like put, you got to set that up every time. Here's what I've been doing, and Miller Lite, our official sponsor, will love this. Been drinking a fair amount of Miller Lite during the quarantine because, as we know, it's now airport drinking rules. Like, time doesn't no longer matters. Days of the week no longer matter. I'm not binge drinking by any means, but I'm saving my Miller Lite cans, and when I get to 10 cans, I crush them up. I take the 12-pack of the 12-pack box. I peel the lid off. I put it across the room, and I see how many out of 10 I can bang into that box.
You're
bang.
You're playing beer basketball.
But it's good. It's making me pace my drinking too. Like, but also it's giving me a goal. At the end of 10.
Yeah.
At the end of 10. Now I've got 10, and it's good. Then I can do my percentage. 8 of 10. I'm shooting 80%. 6 out of 10. Ooh, rough day at the line. 6 yeah. out of 10. But I'm always waiting until I get 10, and then banging 10, just see what I can do. Because also I'm on crutches, you know? So all of my games got to be like sitting down games. I saw some old folks home. Did you see this? Had the elderly playing Hungry Hungry Hippo.
It was a live action Hungry Hungry Hippos.
It was like elderly people in wheelchairs were the hippos going back and forth. They had like sticks with boxes on the end.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. I agree. That's pretty good.
And then there was, I saw yesterday what was going around, and this is going to inspire our hashtag, the hashtag home challenge. A lot of people were doing soccer juggling with toilet paper. A little disrespectful, I guess, you know, because some people don't have toilet paper.
Yeah.
But I assume that they're also going to eventually use it on their ass. I'd like to think that they're not.
I would hope so.
Wasting this toilet paper just for it. But there was a couple really good videos of people, you know, soccer juggling toilet paper. some very creative videos of people then kicking it out of frame, and it sort of then somebody else that was in their group catching it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Through the magic of video. Then they would kind of catch it and do their own juggling. And this was all under the home challenge. So this is what I've come up with, Andy. The DS home challenge. Hashtag DS home challenge. I want videos from dirt balls of what they're doing to pass the time. What kind of game or dirty sport have you come up with in your quarantine? I'm shooting Miller Lights. I'm shooting crushed Miller Lights into a cardboard bucket. I want to know what the dirt balls out there and anybody who comes across this is doing to pass their time.
Yeah, and you know what? It might be something as stupid as a vacuuming game. We all know I love the vacuum.
Yeah. Do you have games that you play while you vacuum?
No, but I could see myself creating something. I did a deep clean. Let me put you on here.
Look at me. So Andy loves it, I've noticed, when he's vacuuming. If he gets like a big chunk and then the vacuum makes like a big noise, dude, a smile just emerges onto his face.
So we could create some sort of vacuum game here in my apartment. I don't know, but I love this. So DS.
Hashtag DS home challenge.
Okay.
Dirt balls. Take video. What are you doing at home? What kind of games have you come up with in your home with whatever you have available to you to pass the time? Because I feel like dirt balls, this is right down dirt ball Main Street. Dirt balls' minds are always a little bit off, a little bit weird,
yeah,
a little bit wonky.
They're called dirt balls.
Yeah. Whenever you tell me a story about having an interaction with one of our fans and you're like, I just don't get it, I go, still a dirt ball. Still a dirt ball. I have a feeling some dirt balls are doing some wild, creative things. Games with their friends, games with, you know, maybe it's their. And I always find it interesting when I look on social media what people are doing is like some people are alone. Some people have roommates. Some people have a significant other. Some people have family. It's like the dynamic of what's going on. Like basically right now, the dynamic that I'm living in is like I'm spending a lot of time at my girlfriend's place. It's me and her. She's got a roommate, but they sort of have separate wings. So it's like. We're sort of on lockdown, just like a couple's lockdown. And, you know, that's what we're doing the past time. I'm doing a lot of swimming and a lot of shooting Miller Lights into things. Oh, and the other thing that I've been doing, this is a big move. I might post video of this. This knee is finally healthy to the point where I'm working on my surf pop-up again. Getting up, popping up on my yoga mat like it's a surfboard. I mean, this is a huge leap for my knee.
Yeah.
One small step for mankind, one giant leap for my.
So let's finish what you're explaining. You want people to submit to our Twitter feed.
Yeah, I want a video of their sport, their DS, their dirty sport home challenge. Best one? I don't know. We'll come up with something. Here's what we're gonna come up with, Andy. If we get one incredible dirty sports home challenge, perhaps we could start a league. Of some sort. Perhaps we could, you know, start competing via social media. Turn social media into a great place again. Make social media great again.
A virtual game.
Yeah. Something that maybe somebody has come up with something that we all should be doing. You know, is shooting Miller Lite free throws into a box super exciting? No, I have a feeling some dirt balls out there doing something that we should all be doing, that we should all be seeing where we stack up against other people online. So hit us with your video. Hashtag DS home challenge.
Tweet us at The Dirty Sports.
Yes.
On both Instagram and Twitter.
If you're watching this in a tweet, if you're watching this video in a tweet, reply under this tweet with your DS home challenge.
Yeah.
Is anything coming in on the chat?
Well, in regards to this DS home challenge, a lot of people throwing out how Jamal Murray has submitted his entry.
Nice transition.
It's a good transition. His DS home challenge was a little sex tape.
Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of rumors about coronavirus, about the things that you should be doing and not doing to help yourself. One of them I saw was it will fight the virus if you're consuming hot liquids. Mm. And Jamal Murray certainly convinced his girlfriend that that's going to help her stay away from the virus. She was desperate for some hot liquids.
Okay, let's break this down. This is the point of our show. It's where we're at in the sports world with there being no sports. I want to break this down from a technical.
Okay, are we breaking out the?
I'm not breaking down the actual act. I want to break down all the other nuances of it. By that I mean this.
I thought you were about to telestrate this, like you're about to go all fucking Czar the Telestrator.
No. I want to
look what you're doing here. Just grinding.
Well, if we had Matty Goldberg here, shout out to the old Mike Mayock draft. He did like the combine, but with porn stars, which was so funny, which is available on our YouTube. No, I want to break down. First, do we think this was put out there on purpose, or was he hacked? I'm always curious.
I don't think he was hacked, and I don't think it was put out there on purpose. I think he accidentally...
It was an Instagram story.
Yeah, I think he accidentally posted a video to his Instagram story. For some reason, like a lot of millennials, he was recording it in his Instagram story. Because people like to do that. Maybe he was going to share it to her on Instagram or share it to somebody else on Instagram. But it seems like maybe he – and I know a lot of people who do this – will record stuff on Instagram or on Snapchat and then save it. As opposed to what I way more often do is I record it in my video and then post it through those. But I know a lot of people who use the apps for their recording, whether it be for filters or – you know, whatever, and then they just save that. My girlfriend says it all the time, save it, don't post it. She'll do it in Snapchat and then save it and then not post it. So I think he accidentally posted a video that he very much, I think it definitely came from his phone.
Yeah.
He's not hacked.
This makes sense if you're doing that for Snapchat, but why Instagram? Snapchat makes sense because you have the Snapchat memories, so it goes to that data bank. But with Instagram, the only option you have after you take that video is to post it. Am I wrong here?
No, see, this is what's wrong with his generation. They don't understand. You guys aren't on the IG, which I don't get. IG is the same way as Snapchat. I don't have Snapchat. I haven't had Snapchat for years. It's the same way as Instagram and Snapchat are the same thing. You can send nudes and play the whole...
Yeah, I understand that. So he was planning on sending this just to his girlfriend.
He could have.
Or I don't know. Maybe he has a relationship with one of his... I don't know. But this is his girlfriend, so like sharing that his girlfriend was blowing him doesn't seem...
And just like Snapchat, it can disappear.
Now,
like,
Andy, what are the... Am I allowed to say blowing on the show still?
You dropped 400 F-bombs already. It's fine, Joe.
Did I?
Yeah, you did. You're that's a game I want to play. Nick and I have discussed this, haven't we, Nick, behind Joe's back? Let's just be honest.
Once or twice.
Where we talked about keeping track of the F-bombs. You don't realize how frequently you say it.
I know. I didn't. At this point, I'm a 40-year-old adult. At this point, I didn't know I was around anybody offended by the F-word.
It's not offended. I think you say it, though. I think you say it more. And this is my opinion. I think you say it more on the show than you say it in everyday life, like talking.
Well, I think I say it the exact same amount on the show as I do in everyday life when I'm worked up about something, which I often get on the show.
You think?
Yeah. The other day we started with, you know, them. You're like, you've said fuck 200 times already. I'm like, yeah, we just talked about Kirk Cousins getting extended. That's the kind of thing that'll cause some F-bombs to come out.
I'm going to make a Joe Prano challenge. If you can go,
no, this is some bullshit backhanded challenge.
This isn't a bullshit.
Where it's like you're trying to get us monetized on YouTube or some shit.
No,
and it's like I have no cares at all about how I talk. And
you should.
Why?
Because one, it's not that difficult to just say. This is why you should care, because it shows you can adapt. What if somebody said, hey, we want to put you guys on?
I do clean comedy shows all the time. You got to do 25 minutes tonight and you can't be dirty. I don't say fuck one time. All the time. We do it all the time.
Then why is there this?
And then when I do comedy shows where they're like anything goes, I say fuck more.
I'll give you $100 cash if you can go two straight episodes without dropping an F-bomb.
I bet you I've gone two straight episodes.
No way.
Okay.
I bet you. Hold on, this isn't just about you, Joe.
I'm not even gonna. By the way, we're not even gonna discuss this again. But I'm gonna do the next two episodes without $100 without saying fuck one time. And didn't we already do this before? Didn't I go? Didn't I go four episodes without swearing at all?
We did one episode. And by the way, this isn't just about you because it's about me too.
No, last year the deal was I couldn't swear at all during playoff football because I lost the bet.
Oh yeah.
And I went and I didn't and if I did swear.
So you've proven you can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I've proven I cannot drink too. I've gone months without drinking. And then I'm drinking all the time. I've proven a million times over I could do this. I went like I never swear in front of, you know, people's parents. I never swear in front of like I'm a totally reasonable person. But we're doing a show called the Dirty Sports Podcast. Used to end with the call sign, condoms are for pussies.
That's fine.
You talked about Sister Margaret or whatever her name was having herpes on her face.
Sister Jean.
So, yeah. I didn't know we were doing clean comedy over here.
It's not clean comedy. You're taking one thing and you're completely running with it. I think that's the difference.
No, all I've said to you, and I've said this numerous times when this came up for the first time, I go, this is like when people vote for Donald Trump. I go, if you're voting for Donald Trump and because you want lower taxes, just say that. Just go like, it's all I care about is lower taxes. I don't care if the guy rapes his wife. I don't care if he, you know, molests teenage beauty queens. I just want lower taxes. I can respect that as a person. What I've said to you is just say, we can't make YouTube money if you say fuck. And I'll go, okay, well, that's it.
It's not just about YouTube, though, for me. It's not just about that. I told you I made a conscious decision the start of the year to, in my opinion, minimize my swearing because it's not like I don't swear because I do. Even before all this stuff, I think just to swear, saying these words just to swear, it loses the effect. It's the same way if I eat ice cream every day. It's not going to taste as good. It's a treat. It's something special. That's all I'm saying. I feel like I swear too much, and then maybe I was trying to put it on you too. It's just a challenge.
Yeah. Sounds like a personal challenge.
Okay. That's fine. I think that...
I mean, if you want me to take $100 in cash from you and never look back and then start swearing again, I'm happy to do it.
It's not a no, but again, it's not all or nothing. You're looking at it all or nothing. It's a matter of minimizing certain things and saying certain things in a certain way without having to just drop F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb.
Yeah, and I'm just going, I'm just here, like, I barely read the rundown. I'm just here spitballing. This ain't, I'm not planning or anything one way or the other. We're not calling a lot of plays. We're playing backyard football out here. I'm doing a lot of turning my back to the field, like I'm doing. You know, this is a fly by the seat of my pants. You know, I'm the Maverick of you know. You want to be Iceman? You want that's how he flies, ice cold. But look, I'm out here. You know, that's right. I am dangerous.
Well, it's fitting because I with my deep dust dive. You see, I got your boy Tom Cruise up in back of you.
I love it. Such a good movie.
He always has to go in back of you.
Such a good movie.
When's the next one come out?
Top Gun, I believe July, provided it's not postponed.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Hopefully, they do, like, I mean, I would be so stoked if they did this. But, you know, a couple of the major movie studios have started to release movies direct to streaming for, like, higher prices. Are like, oh, for $25 you can watch something that's supposed to come out because of the virus. People aren't going to theaters.
I think that's exploiting this.
Well,
if you want to charge $20 to $25,
first of all, if you rent a movie or if you buy a movie now, you can like if you buy Joker, like you said you watched Joker the other day, and I want to hear your review on that. But for example, last night I rented Bombshell. It was $5.99 to rent or $4.99 to rent. If I wanted to buy it and have it forever, it was like $14.99. They're just saying for $25, you can have it before it's out of theaters.
I saw, certain movies like Invisible Man that just came out. $20, and I don't know if that's to buy or rent. If that's to rent, that's ridiculous, because I could see the movie for cheaper than $20.
If you went to the theater.
Correct.
Now you got to go. Like, first of all, if you went to the theater alone, you could see it for less than $20. If you go with somebody else, you're pushing $20, unless you're getting a matinee. If you go with three people, forget it. So you could have your six quarantine friends over and watch it for $20.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
My point is, if you're a family.
Are you sitting 6 feet apart?
I'm saying if you're a family, whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? And I honestly don't. I think that if there's a silver lining or numerous silver linings that come out of this, like, I think studios should be doing this. Who's going to the movies anymore? I go to the movies more than you.
Much more than me. I probably go to the movie theater 3 times a year.
I mean, you just saw Joker 3 days ago.
I did. It's good.
You liked it?
I liked it a lot. I mean, it's a school shooter manifesto, and now I understand why.
I mean, I don't think it's a school shooter manifesto, but I think it's definitely his antisocial personality and his penchant for violence based on feeling like he was sort of stepped on by the world. It definitely
school shooter vibes.
School shooter vibes. I don't think it's when you know. I don't think it's so much as like there are some other pieces of art out there where like the guy becomes like a mass murderer. You know.
Here's what I find interesting while I'm watching.
He kills two people. One person.
No, he kills the three.
Right.
The three guys.
Well, yeah. Don't spoil it. But yeah. Okay. But I'm saying he doesn't kill 10 people in the movie.
But look, he kills 5. I'm just going to give the number. I don't care. I'm giving the number. He killed 5 people. What I found interesting while watching that movie is that, like, emotionally, you find, at least I found myself siding with the Joker. And I don't know if it's meant to be that. So like, emotionally, there's this connection where you have sympathy for Joaquin Phoenix's character, and that when he kills people, again, he kills a few people, I didn't have my sentiment watching it is like, yeah, they deserved it. Like, and that's not, I don't know if that's what Todd Phillips is trying to portray. And maybe that's just me. And I don't know if that's because I'm a white dude too. Like, I don't know.
That's a lot of anti-hero content. We're going back, you know, go back to like Sopranos, The Wire, things where you watch people over the course of years be a murderer, and you're like, I'm on this guy's side.
Yeah, Tony Soprano.
Yeah, and you're on the guy's side because because you're seeing it from that person's point of view.
Yeah,
I'm certain that Todd Phillips isn't saying, I want you to be on this guy's side. I'm certain that he's doing a character piece, or he's just trying to whatever. But that is a very common thing with people when they're watching, again, the anti-hero of a piece of art. You tend to side with the person whose point of view you're on. But,
yeah,
you know, it's always a good filmmaker always is going to make you go, murder is pretty great. Like, to murder somebody's, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's why movies like Joker are, Todd Phillips is a way better filmmaker than when you watch Shoot 'Em Up or whatever. And you're like, oh, that guy's killing 40 people in a movie, or like a Taken, or it's like human life means nothing. Like, you know, Rambo's just like, I kill fucking everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry. Kill friggin' everybody.
You don't have to apologize, Joe. But see, now you're aware of it. My plan is working.
Yeah, it's not working.
You just said I'm sorry.
That was comedy.
Okay.
Because the idea of Rambo saying friggin', that's where we're at.
I liked it, though.
On the semi-clean sports podcast.
I liked it. Overall, you know,
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was great. And I think the people who had a problem with it are the people that you should remove from your social media feed. Those are the people you should curate out. Honestly, I have people I know and whose opinion I respect, and that, I mean, I'm thinking of one person in particular, and I don't want to call them out because I'm friendly-ish with them and I respect their opinion. But I looked at his criticism of Joker, especially all through award season, and he was like ranking his top movies of the year, and it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then like a million space in like Infinity Last Joker, and I go, you're just trying to be a woke asshole.
Yeah,
like you're just being, because it is the, honestly, if you're a person who appreciates cinema, the only criticism I'll really hear about Joker is it's sort of an homage film. Like, if your problem with it is like it's Taxi Driver meets King of Comedy in one movie, I can totally respect that. But in a not so hidden way, it's a blatantly obvious homage to those two movies together.
Yeah.
I mean, Robert De Niro's in it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
As the talk show host.
Yeah.
It is very much clear. Like, I don't think Todd Phillips is hiding that aspect of it. Now, if you go, but I don't want to watch a movie that's sort of an homage to some other movies, but the idea of like this is incel culture and blah, 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 and you're promoting white guys being angry about white guy problems, like, I just think that is one of the worst takes of all time.
Yeah, I agree. And I had not even seen the movie, and I had seen all those takes, and it's just, you know, at the end of the day, though, without getting too deep, you either like something or you don't. The same night I rewatched Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I watched this later by myself. Look, I enjoyed both movies. They're two completely different movies, right? You can just enjoy something for what it is. That's why I don't. You can't even go on social media with these critics because they're just so critical of everything.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched that movie Life Itself the other day, and the criticisms that I read after, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was like an Oscar-winning movie again, but I was like, I'm moved by it, and there's a lot of good performances in it. And yeah, it's got a little bit of cheese factor. It's got a little bit of like emotional corniness. It's got a little bit of like the This Is Us emotional corn feel, but like it was still good. Like the idea that people were like, this is a debacle of a movie, I give it an F. I was like, wow, who are you people?
Yeah, I watched Space Jam for the first time last night, and
wow, first of all, how is that again, Nick? You don't really even have an excuse for. When did Space Jam come out? 90,
I don't know. But hey, you know what? I don't want to hear it. I went out. I watched it on my own without anyone telling me. Corny ass movie.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but I enjoyed it.
Of course, it's corny. It's Looney Tunes.
Oh
are
my
the
god!
Stars
I was appalled at some scenes, just like how ridiculous it was. But I thought it served its purpose, and it was fun that way.
I've still never seen it.
Yeah, Ruth never saw it. I was watching it.
That's kind of crazy too. I think I've seen Space Jam start to finish one time. I've certainly caught pieces of it over the years, but it really isn't a movie that got like a ton of that return run on like cable. I think for a minute there it did, but to sit down to start like I watched it once and I was like, yeah, okay, and that was honestly like, again, look at what year Space Jam came out. I don't think I'd hit my peak Jordan truther
96.
Hatred. Yeah. That was still like you where I had a respect for Michael Jordan as a person. And I was like, okay. And I don't know if I saw it in theaters, but I definitely saw it in theaters or soon after.
Well, look, I want to move on to another segment. One that, was this your idea?
This is my idea, yeah.
It's a good idea.
Well, no, actually, I shouldn't say that. This was Maniacal Mitch's idea in a tweet that I brought to a Google Doc.
Gotcha.
So Mitch's idea And then I kind of made the Google Doc, and then everyone got involved with it. So
shout out to Mitch. He is one of our Down Under dirtballs from Australia. Mitch, who we've all met and hung out with. Great dude.
I'm going to say it again. I've said it on the show before, but I'm going to say it again. And maybe this is the official moment. Or we have to plan. We're in a very slow period in the sports world. Can we make Mitch's Hall of Fame nomination official? I don't remember the process that we had with Jesse Stanga.
There is no process.
Jesse Stanga is still the only.
He's the solo.
He's the solo Hall of Fame inducted. There's been a lot of talk about nominations. There's been a lot of talk about people who are, you know, the Mitches and the CTs, and like there's guys who have been milling around the talk of. But I would like to say, Maniacal Mitch coming from Australia to Amarillo, Texas.
Solidified.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. I agree. Mitch is without a doubt a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Fame dirtball.
Are we doing this right now? Is this it? Are we pulling it up? Are we raising his?
We're knighting him.
We're raising his jersey. And here's the thing. When it was just Stanga, is there really a Hall of Fame if there's only one person? Or is that just, now that we have two, I suggest that we actually have some, I think, you know, small pictures on the wall, the Wall of Fame. Like, now I'm saying we have to have a physical Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Now that there's two. Congratulations to Mitch Mitchell, a.k.a. Paul Mitchell.
I like Mitch Mitchell better.
Paul Mitchell of both hair fame and dirty sports fame. He's now a Hall of Famer. Congratulations, yeah. Mitch, you're in the Hall of Fame.
And not to mention, it's a big step. Not only is he the second, he's the first international Hall of Famer in the Dirtball Hall
Which,
of Fame.
Which, you know, much like the
NBA.
Basketball. Much like the Basketball Hall of Fame. Lots of guys are in the Basketball Hall of Fame that are not as good as other guys who are not in the Basketball Hall of Fame solely because of their contributions around the world. And I think Mitch is like our Vitas Sabonis.
Yeah.
You know? Mitch is our Dino Raja. I think Dino Raja might be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mitch. You're in.
It's a big day for you, Mitch. So hopefully this cheers up your quarantine.
Yeah.
Now, this was Mitch's idea. Another reason he's in the Hall of Fame. I love this idea. This was a dirtball submitted idea. You guys had a lot of great ideas, which we're going to get to over the next few weeks because the current state of sports. I love this premise. User submitted. Nick put it on a Google Doc. I added a few. We're going to go over what the dirtball said. The segment is titled, If Athletes Worked Regular Jobs. Love this idea.
Now, I went through this quickly, and I even added to it a little bit. But I think we should almost go through it and also just rate how we think people did.
Yeah.
Because some of these, I'm like, why?
Yeah. So, again, the segment is no athletes are working.
Yep.
So it's very relevant to the current situation. If athletes worked regular jobs, what would they do? We'll lead off with our editor, co-producer over here, Nick D'Alessandro, a.k.a. Bilbo. He has Russell Wilson.
Yo, boy.
My boy. If he worked a regular job, he would be a Best Buy geek. There we go.
Do you want me to read it?
You say it for
me. It's my own. Russell Wilson would be the Best Buy Geek Squad tech support.
Now, would he be, when you say tech support, is this somebody you're talking to on the phone?
So, like, you can go to Best Buy in person, and then, you know, they have, like, these, I think they're, like, orange and blue polo shirts.
Yeah.
And you go there, and they help you out with, like, your laptop or whatever, you know. You know, maybe you have to fire up
an
email.
So he's not geek squatting around in, like, the Volkswagen where he's driving your house and helping you set up your...
He could do that, too.
Yeah, because I can see him all... I saw Russell Wilson do that. I was like, the polo shirt, buttoned all the way up.
100%.
Classic Russ, for sure, buttoned up.
The curly
tucked
hair.
In.
I'm going based off of looks here, exclusively.
Totally.
So what do we give the rating?
I like it.
I like it, too. I could totally see Russ being a member of the Geek Squad.
I'm a fan of this one. I'm mentally picturing him in the outfit. He's He's very, here's the thing about Russell Wilson. He's your upbeat. He's Mr. Cheerful. Like, Russell Wilson would be a little too happy for me.
Customer service. He's on
yeah.
point.
Yeah. Let's say Russell Wilson and I shared a night together, allegedly, right? Let's just say I wake up next to him. He's too happy when he's cooking me breakfast. I'm not a fan of that.
And what I like about him being tech support, like Nick said, at the store, is I could see Russell being the guy at the desk area when you come. You're like, hey, I'm having this problem with my laptop. And he's like, no problem, sir. We can get that taken care of right away. And then he hands it off to like a black guy with dreads who's actually doing the work, who's not as good with customer service. And then he just takes all the credit for getting it done. Like, he's got a team of guys in the back that are actually doing the fixing.
That's kind of disrespectful.
He's out front. With the polo
shirt.
You lost me there.
Russell's numbers stand by themselves. Anyway, let's move on, Joe.
You said we're rating these. How are we rating these? Is this like a out of 10 scale?
No, just kind of saying.
Just
like a thumbs up, thumbs down.
It's right. Definitely a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Next one, Baker Mayfield. This was submitted by Dirtball Peyton Stolpe, at Peyton Stolpe on Twitter. Baker Mayfield, he has listed as a door-to-door vacuum salesman. Don't really understand it. Thumbs down. Sorry, Peyton.
Is
that a thing?
Door-to-door vacuum salesman's a thing. I don't love it. The one thing, him being in the vacuum and in like the like cleanup kind of thing. I just saw how is Baker Mayfield not transitioning directly into handyman? He's already fixing toilets and light bulbs all around the stadium.
Yeah,
like why isn't he transitioning directly into that?
I can see Baker being a sarcastic plumber.
Yeah, exactly. Like I feel like Baker Mayfield thinks he's too good to go door to door.
I agree.
Yeah,
he's the guy who shows up.
He's the guy who you hire because he's like your wife's like brother-in-law,
and he's a dick.
And he's a dick. And yeah. And you catch him drinking beers.
Yes.
You know.
And when you call him out on it, he's like, "Dude, I'm gonna fix your toilet. You're never gonna have a better looking toilet."
And he's like, "Can I get that money?" And they're like, "You have to finish first." He's like, "Well, you know, I'm gonna finish next week. It's
yeah,
like, I'm definitely coming back. But you know, if you just give me the money now,
I agree."
Great. I'm like, he's the guy who gets paid for. He's like the handyman who gets paid for something and then disappears with your money.
Yeah,
and then it either breaks right away or he never fixes. He's like, "Could you just give me? I gotta go get some tool. I gotta get some supplies at Home Depot." And then he just bails with your money.
I can totally see Baker Mayfield as a character on Tiger King.
Yes.
Like, he's working one of the zoos.
Yeah. He's one of the guy's gay husbands.
Yes. I can totally see that. All right. So Peyton, you know, we found a common ground with where you're going here. So next up is Jameis Winston. So submitted from Dirtball Emiliano. He has Jameis Winston working at a register at a 7-Eleven.
I can see him working the register. I guess it's going to do a lot of the work for him. I'll say this. He's not working the register very long. He's definitely getting fired.
Not good with numbers.
Yeah, exactly. He's missed.
He doesn't know how to give change
he's
back.
He's mis-entering things.
Yeah.
He's giving change to the wrong people. You know, some guy's buying something, he's handing it to somebody else. He's like, "But that's my change." He's like, "Ah, sorry."
But, you know, I know he supposedly just fixed his eyes, but with his bad vision, it's great to rob. Like, people are stealing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
While he's on the job.
He's definitely getting fired because he doesn't see people walking out with shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's like, "What? Is that guy? Nah, he works here."
Yeah.
Now, I added to Jameis Winston, too, because immediately when I saw this idea, I thought, well, Jameis is just the perfect guy. A fish thrower at Pike Market in Seattle. You always see this in tourism videos about Seattle. You know those guys who sit up there and they got the big overalls on and they're just chucking fish? He seems perfect. That he's well built. He's like a bulky guy.
I like it.
I could see him going like, "Yeah, go over there." He's terrible at throwing footballs to the right people. But the thing is, no one's going to intercept the fish. You're sitting the guy right there. There's only one person to throw it. I mean, no doubt about it. He's got a good arm.
Yeah.
I could see him throwing fish.
I agree. I think it's a good one. I can see both of those. All right, next up is Alex Caruso. We have as a sex shop worker, this was submitted from Jesse Stanga, the other dirtball in the Hall of Fame. I like it.
Yeah.
He's got the sex shop worker look.
100%.
The hair.
Yeah.
He's white, pasty.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah.
You you go into the sex shop, you're looking for something for a sensual night with your significant other, and now you got to deal with this guy. He's like, oh, you want to get, come here. He puts his arm around you as he walks you into the section.
Yeah.
He's talking a little too in-depth about how these things work. You can tell that he's used them all before.
Yeah.
But you don't know if he's used them on men, women, children, alive people, dead people.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
I like it. Alex Caruso is a sex shop worker.
Yeah.
All right, this next one.
And by sex shop, we mean like a
Lion's
sexual
Den.
Gifts.
Lion's shop. Den.
He's not working in like a
little peep show type thing.
Oh yeah, I could
like,
see that too.
I could definitely like a see 70s him working a peep show.
Times Square peep show.
Yeah.
Guy.
Poor Alex Caruso.
This next one's good.
This next one made me laugh pretty hard. Submitted by A. Millie. Shout out to A. Millie down on the bayou. He has Jose Altuve as a garbage man on the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Love this.
I love this. I also feel like I could see Jose Altuve enjoying it. He's the guy. He's like your friendly neighborhood. He's like all smiley and he's fun. And he comes, he's like, hey, what's up? Yeah, get your garbage. But also, he's got a thing with all the neighbors.
Yeah.
He's got a stick that he carries like on his belt. And when he's done, he just gives your garbage can like a couple whacks to let you know it's been taken out. Now you can pull it back up the driveway, you know? Hey, Ben, we're all done over here. Bang, 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 bang. You're like, Jose, I got you. And you're pulling it in.
And he's got that good short, stocky build.
Yeah.
Like he's got the strength to just chuck the cans right in the garbage truck.
I see him with his coveralls down and tied around his waist, and he's just shirtless doing it. He's got that weird tattoo that he's been hiding on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's just like, I do the garbage with no shirt.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jose. And whenever you see him, you always go like, Jose loves his job. You know?
Yeah.
He just loves his job.
Next up, we have Tom Brady, another Peyton Stolpe submission. Manager of an UGG store in a failing mall. I'm going to make another adjustment on this one. I can see Tom Brady more of a clerk because he's like good looking at Abercrombie.
Well, I mean, are Abercrombie's even still a thing? I mean, he is. No man on earth, except for maybe Eddie Ift, loves Uggs more than Tom Brady. So I could definitely see him.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. I think he might be a on-the-floor guy as opposed to a manager.
Yeah.
But he's definitely moving Uggs.
Okay.
And, like, and here's the thing. Tom Brady, like, women are shopping at the Uggs store, and Tom Brady is talking to the boyfriends when they come in and being like, I know you think these things are for girls, but like they're really comfortable.
Yeah.
And you should try them on. I wear them all the time. They're like, you wear them? You're like a 6'4" Adonis. He's like, you got to try them on.
Yeah.
You got to. He's doing the same thing as Alex Caruso. He's kind of putting his arm around you, walking you over to the men's section. So maybe not the manager, but definitely.
On the floor.
Yeah, he's definitely on the floor.
I like it. On the floor.
Of an UGG store. I like it.
All right, Andrew Luck, he's listed as a census worker or rocket scientist. A census worker, rocket scientist on the side by Eric Drake. I don't get the census worker.
I could see it, though. I could see Andrew Luck coming to your apartment because you didn't. He's like, we've got to talk about it. You know, legally, you've got to fill this out. It's actually a crime not to. So let's just sit here and go through it. What would you say your ethnic background is?
Caucasian.
Sorry, and it's a little personal, but it's legally you got. What would you say your annual income is?
$60,000.
Wow, that's pretty good. Pretty good. All right, how many years you been living at this location?
10 years.
Great. This is not so bad. You should just fill this out on your own. I'm not going to lie. I like sitting here with you. I like talking about it.
Okay.
Do you own or lease your automobile?
I lease it.
Okay. That's great. Good to know.
Yeah.
When you travel, how many times a year do you travel for work? How many times a year are you traveling?
I'll say about 7 or 8.
Okay.
That's all in the census?
Oh, yeah. Dude, a lot of stuff on the census.
I thought they wanted to know, like, kids and those sort of things.
I'm here in your apartment. I can see that unless this 23-year-old here is your son, that you don't have children, unless you're keeping them in. Yeah, am I wrong? Should I go ahead and assume that you don't have children?
Andrew, you kind of sound like Phil Walton today.
Very similar. Similar, a little more gravelly. A little bit more gravelly.
Oh, okay. I can see Andrew Luck as a census worker. Rocket scientist on the side.
I'm giving Eric the plus on the census worker. We're removing the rocket scientist on the side.
You know where else I could see Andrew Luck? See if you agree with me on this. And I just went to the Apple store. Those guys know their shit. Andrew Luck is helping you out at the Apple store. Yes or no? No?
I just feel like he's too unkempt to be an Apple. Like
those guys wear those like little lanyard things, right?
Yeah.
I can totally see Andrew Luck wearing a lanyard.
Me too. And by the way, a lot of them are unkempt though. Right now. I just went.
Has the Apple store fallen off?
Well, I just the facial hair. They don't.
Not gonna lie, I see Andrew Luck is like an Uber XL driver too.
Oh yeah.
Like Andrew Luck, but he's definitely taking like six people plus.
Get in. Get in the car. Where are we going? Pasadena, buckle up.
All right, let's get through some more of these. Can we do some of the ones? Do you want me to skip ahead?
Yeah, I mean, how many have we got? Let's start banging them. Cam Newton, women's department store mannequin.
It's from A. Gilbertson, 92.
I feel like Cam Newton, I know the joke that he's going for here, but to be honest, like I could see Cam Newton legitimately as like a store mannequin in like a hip asexual, like a store. It's like, it's for men, it's for women. Our mannequins are alive. Like I could see Cam Newton like literally posing in a store window. In like a unisex, like mod.
I can see it. Yeah, let's go with it. All right. Stango submitted another one. This is Joe Inglis. Is it Inglis?
Ingles.
Ingles? Utah Jazz, a chimney sweep. What's a chimney sweep do? Just clean the chimney?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen a chimney sweep in person. So I can't really comment on this.
Joe Ingles is like 6'9".
Yeah.
It's a big chimney sweep.
He's the size of your chimney.
Yeah. But I know what Stang is going for here. He's a real blue collar type of guy.
This next one is very specific, and to be honest, I don't understand it. George Kittle is listed as the guy who walks around the neighborhood in the spring trying to get you to switch garbage services. From Bob Turkey is a turkey.
I don't even know what that means. I'm not from the kind. So
where I lived, there was like a monopoly in the garbage services.
Yeah. Was it run by Italian people?
It was run by Rumpke, and it was a Rumpke family in Cincinnati.
Okay.
They ran all everything.
So it was probably some sort of criminal enterprise, correct?
I'm just saying, it was one family who ran the entire city's garbage.
Yeah. So they were organized crime.
That's
the way it was where I'm from as well. A lot of warring Italian people trying to get your garbage. And then otherwise, I've only ever lived in places where it was clearly crime involved or where it was provided by the city. Like in New York and in LA, the city just picks up your garbage.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what part of the world or what part of the country there's like a guy who's trying to get you to do it. But like George Kittle, in this world that I can't really imagine, I could see George Kittle as that guy.
Yeah. I can also see him as a bouncer.
Yes.
At a college bar.
Yeah. I could also see George Kittle as a guy who's like a mixologist. He's not a bartender.
Yes.
Right? He wears suspenders.
Yes.
And he's like making drinks. He's like, it's sort of like an old fashioned, but it's a little different. We call it a new fashioned. And you're like, this is what? Like what? And you're looking at him, you're like, you're so goddamn fit.
Yeah.
You're so big. And,
yeah.
And but your hair is so bad, and you're wearing suspenders. This is literally the only job you could do.
Yeah. All right, this next one I just really don't understand. It's from Rebby Grill. He's a younger dirtball.
Robbie Grill.
Robbie Grill.
Used to be Rebby. I think Rebby's dead. I think he got rid of the Rebby.
He's Robbie now.
He's Robbie now.
He has Bill O'Brien listed as a Lloyd Christmas impersonator. Now, Lloyd Christmas is Jim Carrey's character in Dumb and Dumber. Sorry, I don't get it.
I think he's just saying how dumb Bill O'Brien is.
Ah.
But,
funny.
But here's what I think Bill O'Brien is. I think he's in an office. He's the arrogant guy you hate at the office.
I think Bill O'Brien is a substitute gym teacher.
Love it.
He's not the head gym teacher.
Yeah.
He's like the gym teacher who takes over when the gym teacher's out of town. He's the assistant athletic director, but he's very everything's very antiquated. It's a lot of gym class is just everybody doing bench press.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, and he's like, you know, my doctor tells me yoga may be better for my back. He's like, bench press and push-ups. That's it. That's all you got to do is do push-ups.
Yeah.
You know, he's always getting kids hurt. He's like the reckless games.
Reckless games.
Like, tons of reckless games.
Making jokes about their penis size in the shower.
Exactly.
Walking by the locker room.
He's essentially the guy from the guy from Teen Wolf, but not as funny.
Yeah. I agree. All right. Let's move on to a few ones I created.
By the way, I love how you spelled Kyle Lowry wrong. Lowry.
He went with the Jed Lowry. He went with the Jed Lowry spelling.
Okay. Well, I spelled it wrong.
Yeah, I'll fix it.
Well, it's fine.
Want to start there, Kyle Lowry?
No, let's start with Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Let's go in order. I have Kevin Durant. I've listed this as an Andy Ruther one as a when you go into Sprint or Verizon, the guy helps you with your phone.
Which one is it though? Sprint or Verizon?
They're all the same to me. I think because to me those guys.
See, I'm gonna fix this for you right away. Kevin Durant is a phone guy at a T-Mobile store, for sure.
There you go.
He's the T-Mobile because he's still pushing you hard on the Sidekick. You know, the Sidekick too. He's like, look at it, flips. And you're like, what are you doing with this? He's like, the security is actually better.
So you think Kevin Durant's a T-Mobile?
Yeah. And he's always talking to you weirdly about the security of how you could hide who you are.
Yeah.
The encryption of T-Mobile. You know, a lot of people, they talk about the 5G and the 5G coverage, Sprint, Verizon. But when it comes to encryption, no one's better than T-Mobile. Also, we get free free messaging. On airplanes, I don't know if you ever noticed that. It's always the T-Mobile free messaging if you're a T-Mobile user, so that you can reply to people's tweets. Even
I like
when you're
it. In the air. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. I might have to convince you on this one, but after Nick and I talked this through, we both agree with this. Andy Dalton, he's the Applebee's bartender, and here's why. Andy Dalton is a very positive guy. If you've ever seen him, he's kind of cheesy, he's dorky,
yeah,
so he's not working like a dive bar, but he's the upbeat local guy in the suburb who's like, hey Brian, how's your wife
doing? Opposite of George Kittle, who's making new fashions. Like, he's serving draft beers, he's serving margaritas.
He's very upbeat.
Yeah,
he knows your family.
Yeah,
he knows you just came in from work.
And sometimes you come in there and you sit and you're looking at him as he's making you, your bottomless margarita. You look at the weird, local clippings on the wall and you're like, is that you? He's like, I was pretty good at football in high school. Pretty good. You know, I don't like to talk about it, but back in the day I was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think him and Carson Wentz are in the same boat here on this joint venture they have going.
Him and Carson Wentz are the two bartenders at your local Applebee's.
Yeah.
And they work like Tom Cruise and the guy in Cocktail. Not as flashy, but they are like one person the way they move together.
And people really like both of them.
Yeah.
They like Carson and they like Andy.
Yeah.
They're like, man.
A lot of racist people come in there, Carson, and they're just like straight up white-ass white dudes serving their drinks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're the front for The kitchen is full of Mexican people, but they're like, we like to not think about that. We like to think that in the kitchen is a bunch of other boring-ass white dudes.
Yeah. All right, what do you think about this one? Next up, I have Antonio Brown. I have him as the dude trying to sell you rap CDs on the Venice Beach Boardwalk.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because they're aggressive.
Yeah.
But they can be funny at times. I think Antonio Brown can be funny at times. But sometimes they're just mean.
Yeah. And also, they are sneaky thieves. Like,
yes.
Their goal is just to try to get you to touch it. And then, like, once you touch it, you own it. Yeah. They're like, here. And you're like, whoa, what? Like, because dumb people or like tourists, they just like grab it. And they're like, once you hold it, they're not taking it back from you.
Yeah.
They're like, no backsies. No, it's $3. $3. I need $5. Five, ten, five. What are you willing to pay? Yeah. Real, real shady characters.
He's got a great one in the YouTube comments for Steph Curry. He's the guy who comes in and cleans up the movie theater after. He's super friendly and makes the point to tell you that you can take your time leaving. You know the guys with the trash can?
Yeah. With the stick with the garbage thing on the end that like on the swivel.
Exactly.
And he's got like a whole like technique. He's got real good wrist action. Like he can see like a half eaten thing of popcorn and like 6 feet away he's like whoosh, and it just boom right into the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this. By the way, submit these.
He's also the guy that's taking your ticket on the way in and then he's cleaning up after. But on the way in he's like, that's three, it's gonna be down on your right. You know?
Okay, I have next up Kyle Lowry, who I misspelled. I have him as the fry guy at McDonald's, but there's a caveat to this. He really takes pride, and he's great at it.
He wears a visor.
Yes, I was going to say, he wears a visor. People love him. They're like, dude, Kyle's so good in the fries.
Yeah.
He churns them out.
But when they ask him to do anything else, it's just a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, new people come in, and they're like, hey, can you help us with the milkshakes? And he just, like, gives them a look. And people have to come over and be like, Kyle only does fries. Like, no one does fries like Kyle, but he only does fries.
And after
he is not qualified to run the drive-thru.
And after he seasons them, he loves taking one fry, putting it on his mouth.
Yeah.
I used to do that when I worked at A&W, when I would do cheese curds. Whenever I'd make a cheese curd.
You worked at A&W?
Yeah, it was my first job.
Wow. I love A&W, by the way.
Yeah.
I think A&W is grossly underrated. I saw it. I saw somebody do a fast food, like a fast food March Madness. I think they didn't call it a fast food though. They called it like something else because it wasn't like whatever. Anyway, they had A&W as a 15 seed.
Oh,
like that is ridiculous. A&W, like I can't think of a fast food place.
I've never eaten there.
Oh, it's so good.
Where are A&W's?
You get floats. There's not that many of them around.
Few and far between. Yeah. But diamond in the rough.
There's one up in Mill Valley. I know that. I always pass it whenever I go up up to Marin outside of San Francisco. There's one. Growing up, we always went to the one that was in the Stanford Mall, which was, you know, that was like the reason to go to the Stanford Mall, go to A&W. But they do the root beer, obviously. The float,
yeah.
They do floats.
There was one not too far from where I used to live in Las Vegas. I just never went.
A lot of them are just the old-fashioned ones, too.
Yeah.
They're not making new A&Ws by any means. They're on the way out.
Yeah.
All right, what about this?
Do you know any of did the root beer start from the store and then just take off or vice versa?
I have no idea.
He skipped training.
I have no idea. All I know—
because I could see that being a thing. Like, then we became known for the root beer and the root beer floats and whatever, and— the root beer business took off, and now we're just hanging on to these stores.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So good, though. Burgers are good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I love A&W. Right. Cheese fries, right? And they do the
cheese
crinkle
curds.
Fries.
Yes.
Crinkle fries, to me, definitely goat fry, right?
I like the thin and crispy fry, the shoestring fry.
I'm a crinkle fry guy,
What's the crinkle? I know the waffle fry. What's the crinkle fry?
Crinkle fry, it's got like ridges.
Yeah.
It's like the rigid one.
It's like a Ruffles chip, but in fry form.
I wouldn't put it as the goat fry.
No.
I'm going goat fry.
I would
crinkle
say
fry.
Curly fries over crinkle fry.
No way. First of all, curly fry to me is below crinkle and
I disagree. Like
what did you call it?
Shoestring.
Shoestring.
Like Jack in the Box, I like their curly fries.
I'd go shoestring, curly, crinkle. Then
I'm
steak
going,
fry.
I'm going crinkle, shoestring, curly, waffle.
Whoa.
Waffle steak.
Nah, man. I put waffle ahead of crinkle.
No way.
Yeah.
I like a waffle fry if it's done right, but the crinkle, you just get this crispness to the crinkle fry.
You guys ever do the smiley face fries from back in the day?
By the way, no, there's no doubt about it. Crinkle fry is the for sure the preferred fry with cheese. Crinkle fries with some cheese. What am I putting? If I'm doing cheese fries.
Okay, fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough.
Curly fries with cheese? Like, then you got to fucking, how do you stick it in there?
Stanga says curly fries, it's its own category. I'm not going to agree with that.
Why is it its own category? It's clearly a potato cut and fried. How could it be in its own category, Stanga? Stanga, don't make us make the Hall of Fame a one-person hall again.
All right, we have a couple more. Next up, I have Jadeveon Clowney as a guy who works at GNC selling you supplements.
I could see that. I could also see Jadeveon Clowney as the guy who takes you around the gym when you go to a gym for the first time.
I like
first
it.
Time here. You want to tour the place?
I like it. Yeah,
he's just so damn big,
so big.
And like when you come back to the front desk after he gives you a tour, you really feel a little bit in danger if you don't sign up for the gym.
I agree. You know what he reminds me of? That's what happened to me in Las Vegas. I flew out there, and God, what are the fitness centers in Vegas? Maybe it's just, I forget what it's called. Maybe literally LV Fitness or something. They have a big chain out there. It's not 24-hour fitness. They have that too.
Right.
But I went for a tour. I flew back to Ohio. And the guy wouldn't stop calling me. He was huge. Like, he basically bullied me over the phone into getting a membership.
Yeah.
Before I had even moved there.
Yeah.
Because he was like Jadeveon Clowney.
And I feel like Jadeveon Clowney takes you for a tour, and he's never once had to call anybody because no one's ever not.
Yeah.
No one's ever not signed up for the gym.
Sure. It totally makes sense. And then the last one is what you have. This is a total dig. You have Carmelo Anthony as a shot girl waitress at Senor Frogs in Cancun.
Yeah. The thing about being a shot girl, it's almost as much about selling shots for people. The shot girl wants you to buy her a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're taking shots. Like, when a shot girl comes up to you at Senior Frogs, she's like, do you want some shots? And you're like, in your mind, you're going, like, not really. But I bet you 78% of the time, if not higher, they go, like, you're going to take one with us? And Carmelo Anthony is just in it for the shots himself. He just wants shots. He loves shots. He needs to take shots.
Yeah.
So he has done it. He was like, well, when you bartend, you're not really supposed to take shots. What job could I literally get paid to take shots in? So he just puts on the little T-shirt. It's tied up on the side.
He's got a belly showing.
He's walking around with the sugary shots. And he's like, how many are we doing here? And they're like, well, are you going to take one with us, Carmelo? He's like, you're goddamn right I am. He's selling shots. It's in your frogs.
All right. Is that it?
I think our best one might have been Jadeveon Clowney, the gym, as the guy who signs you up at the gym.
You think that's the best one?
I think that was one that's and Andy Dalton as an Applebee's bartender, especially working in a duo with Carson Wentz.
I love the Carson Wentz Andy Dalton duo at your local white suburban town.
Yeah,
Applebee's. He's like, have you checked out the new 2 for $20? We got new specials this week, guys. And that person coming in with the family is like, oh, you do?
And they can both do the job themselves, but they need to have the other guy there. Because sometimes Carson or Andy will just be like elbow up at the bar, like having a conversation with one of the regulars, and the other guy's covering the whole bar by himself. And then they just work so perfectly together.
I'm not going to give anything away, but I did think of you last night. Speaking of Applebee's, wait until you get to episode 6. Of Tiger King.
Okay.
Because Applebee's is mentioned. And I was like, Prano's going to lose his shit. Fun little game if you have any.
I can't even think of the last time I was in an Applebee's. When was the last time you were in an Applebee's?
Probably on the road somewhere.
I was in school a couple months ago. I was in Mount Pleasant.
Well, you know what's funny? When we went to the Ducks Blues game, we were looking for somewhere to eat. Me, Nick, and Goldberg. Because for people who don't know, it's basically just off the freeway, the Angel Stadium and where the Ducks play, the Honda Center. And there was a Chili's right by. You know, I'm just looking for something quick.
Yeah.
They were so adamant against Chili's. And what I said was, like, what the hell is the difference between a Chili's and an Applebee's? And both him excuse me, and Goldberg got so mad. They're like, there's a big difference.
I can honestly say.
What's the difference?
I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever been inside of a Chili's.
Same.
I don't think I've ever been inside.
So then why were you anti-Chili's?
The menu. I mean, it's Chili's. It's unappealing.
It's the same menu
as
Applebee's.
It's not. Don't even go there.
Are they the same company?
Dude, it's owned by the same people, but Applebee's also owns like Subway and Jimmy John's and all these other chains.
No, hold on. I would love
the same guy.
I don't know, but I guarantee those menus are similar. Nick's never been, and he was so against it.
No, I've been. I haven't been in a while.
I like to go to Portillo's whenever I go to the Ducks game. I like those Portillo's Italian beef sandwiches, which I didn't even know was a chain, but
it's good.
It is. I like those.
It's real good. In real sports news, the Olympics
canceled.
Postponed.
Postponed.
According to Dick Pound.
This is something that I've been, you know, wondering a lot lately in terms of how all this stuff is going to affect sports. Seems like we're canceling things or postponing them. And I understand he went on record as saying postponed that they were supposed to start July 24th. And his quote was, they're not going to start July 24th. I can say that for sure, which I understand. There's a lot that goes into gearing up for the Olympics. I was saying to you as we were driving up that you have to have Olympic trials at some point from track field, like all the track field, swimming, whatever, these things that where they have competitions across the globe in their own countries, because I believe it's only the top two in each event or three in each event, whatever it is, can make it from one particular place. There's for timed events, there's like a baseline number.
Yeah.
But, and that's the thing that people don't understand is like, you could be the eighth best 100 backstroker in America. You're better than a guy who makes it from, let's say, Ireland, who has to be like the top two, but also be above this number, you know, or below this number. So we have to have trials. So I understand them postponing it, and I'm glad that they said postpone. But it seems like things are getting canceled that are pretty far out. And I'm like, why are we canceling? Like, there is a possibility that like June, everything's fine, right?
Of course.
There's a possibility.
It's a possibility May.
Yeah. So it seems weird.
I think April's a wash. I'm just guessing.
Now, we were discussing, do you think the NBA season's over?
Yes.
That there will not be a crowned champion for this NBA season?
Sadly, very sadly, I think there will not be a season.
Now, let's say shit gets sorted in April or early May. Can't you start basketball again in June 1 and just play the playoffs?
You can.
Finish in July. How long do the NBA playoffs take? 6 weeks? A month?
Well, they start normally in April.
And they go sometimes till early June.
They just wouldn't be able to space it out as much. And they wouldn't have to, because the argument would be you guys have had a ton of rest.
Right. And to me, I actually think it would be a very I think it could be a very good thing for the NBA. Like, the people that I think would have a very big problem with it are the teams that are on the bubble right now. And, we're a game out of eighth, and the season just starting today. And this would be the argument for not resting guys, not holding, and, you know, not doing load management or whatever. It's like, you never know what can happen. If you want to be a playoff team, be in the top eight from day one of the season.
Obviously, this has never happened before.
Right.
I'd love to see that happen. I think you're right. I don't see it happening. I think everybody is being overly cautious.
Is there going to be a 2020 World Series champion? I mean, at what point do you cancel baseball? Like, how short of a baseball season can you have?
It's a good question.
Because baseball, you can't play. I saw some people saying, you can't play December baseball. You can't really play mid-November baseball if there's teams playing outdoors. It's just, it's incorrect. I think you basically have to consider baseball ending in early November, one way or the other.
Man, the Astros are going to get off scot-free because of all this crap.
I mean, I think a lot of people are still pretty passionate.
Not if there's not a season.
Right.
Nobody's going to be as passionate 2021.
Imagine if 2020 gets canceled and AJ Hinch basically doesn't miss a season. Like, he's a manager again without actually missing a season.
Yeah. I don't know. I really hope they just start the NBA playoffs when all this stuff is figured out. I think we're going to know a lot more. I mean, we keep waiting, right, at least in the United States, for things to get really bad. At what point?
Things are pretty bad already.
So things are pretty bad.
I have a friend who's a doctor who works in Colorado, and he's saying it's bad. They're out of masks, that they're out of ventilators, that they're already – that he's a surgeon. They're already not doing surgeries basically on anybody except for people. And he's like – and it's ridiculous. But, like, we're basically only doing surgeries on people who get stabbed or shot or have bad car accidents. We're essentially not doing any elective surgeries at all. We're not doing any surgeries where it's, like, on the fence – whether or not you need surgery.
So can I get breast implants this week?
No, I would say that probably not.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously, like, for example, you know, I watched this is the first episode I've watched of Curb Your Enthusiasm in I don't know how long, because you told me Tommy Dewey was on.
Yeah.
And I watched it, but that's a great example. Like, I had to have a trauma knee surgery. The knee surgery is like, oh, do I need surgery? Do I not need surgery? They're not doing that. They're not doing, like, oh, I have a torn meniscus, you know?
Yeah.
So things are already pretty bad. And now we're just starting to get videos from, like, hospitals and stuff like that. I don't know if you saw the hospital in Spain of people laying on the floor.
No, I can't watch that crap.
Yeah. So it's pretty bad. I mean, I think the crazy thing is, and I know you've been talking about, like, the politics of it all, is, like, I think things are so unclear because, like, the president goes out and does a press conference every 2 days and doesn't say anything.
Yeah. I know.
It's just like, everything's great. It's going to be good. It's great. It's good. I know it seems bad. It's not as bad as it looks. It's going to be fine. I've got this. We're going to be back. I mean, he tweeted last night that basically the cure, the whole all caps thing. He's basically saying he's going to, like, reopen stuff just to, like, get the economy going in. It's like, wow, this guy's unbelievable.
Yeah. Again, I try to ignore it. By the way, guys, if you want to call, the hotline is 310-359-8365. We're welcoming calls. And we're welcoming new ideas. I will look into that tweet that I put a couple weeks ago as far as stuff we should do while sports is still in this lull moment. And we'll keep coming up with content. I think today was a great show. Personally, I'm just going to say it. I think we're going to find things to talk about. Never going to be a dull moment with us. And keep giving us your feedback on Twitter, Instagram, at The Dirty Sports for both, and Reddit. And that's it. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Just be smart. And don't freak out. And give us those submissions.
For the DS Home Challenge.
Hashtag.
I need more things to do. So send in videos of your great quarantine sports, we're calling it, basically.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing a lot of games, a lot of things. But, like, I want, you know, athletic, in air quotes, style competitions that the Dirt Balls are doing with their friends, their loved ones, whoever they're on quarantine with. Because who knows how long we'll be here? We can start a league, Andy.
Yeah, exactly.
I already got a game with rules.
Wow, this is your game?
This is my game. Me and my buddy Ryan, we created this in college, and we have a whole rules thing. But we need a ping pong table, so I don't think that's gonna work.
Okay, well, tell what? How does this work?
It's called Natty Bombs.
Okay,
it's a drinking game.
Great.
But involves ping pong. You see this list right here? We'll go over it afterwards.
Cool.
Okay. Fantastic. Cool.
All right, guys. Well, that's the show.
Yeah. I got to, there's not really a ton of things to plug. I guess follow all of our social media, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Send us a video for DS Home Challenge. And like Andy said, use social media or our hotline to give us things that you want us to talk about, because NFL free agency is winding down. The Olympics are postponed. We're close to, we've already taken the dirty out. We're about to take the sports out. We're about to be clean hobbies. The clean hobbies podcast.
We have not taken the dirty out. We're still dirty sports. Guys, follow us along this fun ride through the pandemic. We'll get you through it. Trust me. We'll make it fun and entertaining. So hit those notifications on YouTube so you know when we go live. All right, guys. Stay smart, stay safe, and most importantly, stay dirty.